and who am I? These are questions that have reverberated across the centuries since the first moments of creation, now to be heard by us. Who are we? Such an inquiry can make us uncomfortable at times, enough so that we might try to silence the questions or run from them. But from time to time, each of us has to dare to ask ourselves, who am I? And behind these deep questions lies the issue in the matter of identity. Often we identify ourselves by relationships, don't we? Even though both of my parents have passed away just in the last 2 years, I am still Doris Wood's son and Lee Holland's son. I'm Tim Holland's brother. I'm Trisha's husband, Ben and Jordan's dad, Misty's father-in-law. Or we will identify ourselves by our occupation, which is a challenge to people when they retire, or maybe by our residence. So I tell people, I'm Mike Holland. I am minister of Church of the Foothills, United Church of Christ and Disciples of Christ in Santa Ana. I'm a retired professor at OCC. My residence is in Cypress, California, USA. Spiritual communities have always taken the question of identity very seriously. Judaism traces its genesis all the way back to a distant desert where a wandering nomad heard a voice believed to be divine. And according to the ancient Hebrew narratives, Abram and Sarah responded to what they believed was the invitation of God to leave the comfort and safety of their home and their kin and undertake a journey to find a new land, but more importantly, a new dream. Years later, a charismatic Jewish prophet named John got a name for himself for the practice of baptizing fellow Jews to dramatize their willingness to change their ways and to get ready for the coming reign of God in their lives and the world. When John was baptizing out in the wilderness and in the Jordan River, Jews knew this was not just any sand or any ordinary river. It was the same location where Joshua had led the children of Israel into the promised land, a land of freedom, but a covenant of responsibility. John was offering his fellow Jews a new kind of freedom. And Jesus of Nazareth responded to that call to baptism and service. It's what kick-started his ministry. So it's not surprising that early Christians adopted baptism as the fundamental means of publicly declaring their personal commitment to Jesus Christ and to publicly identify themselves as Christians, members of the church. Again, they were just following the example of Jesus. For these new Christians, baptism was a declaration of their identity. I am a disciple of Christ. I am a follower of this Jesus. So for them and for us still, I hope, being a Christian meant learning about the wisdom of Jesus, following the ways of Jesus, serving God and other people the way Jesus served God and other people. Their identity now was as disciples, and it was to be no secret. Well, where are we today on baptism? For many Christians today, it's a wonderful religious rite that either blesses the birth of a child, or it's a welcoming ceremony for somebody into the church. But folks, don't forget, originally it was so much more. It was a dividing line, signaling the beginning of a new journey. It meant risking, real risk, the loss of family and friends, and maybe your job if you were going to identify with this radical outlaw Jesus that the empire had crucified as a criminal. As a statement of personal identity, the baptized person was saying, I am aligning my humanity with the God I see in Jesus Christ. And the implication here is profound. But one of the implications is, it meant you can't be a Lone Ranger Christian. You can't say, I admire Jesus, but I don't have anything to do with other followers of Jesus or the church. Identification as a follower of Jesus through baptism meant it was going to shape your life in mission, service. It means you were committed to linking your gifts with the gifts of other people in order to meet the pressing needs around us. And finally, baptism involves a wonderful assurance from God that you are a beloved son or daughter in whom God is well pleased. Jesus heard those words stepping out of the Jordan River, soaking wet. And that's still God's affirmation for all of us, whether we actually hear the words or not. So the primary job of the church is to provide nurturing space in which every person can be encouraged to live out their identity as a disciple of Christ and follower of Jesus. So I hope this year and every year, we will live with some honesty and integrity about our identity. For otherwise, the church has spiritual sickness if it's trying to live out some spiritual life without accepting its call and its commitments to social involvement. Some of us have been fortunate to go over to Jordan and see that river where Jesus was baptized. We've traveled to the unholy land of Israel and the Palestinian West Bank, and I say unholy not to disparage anyone, any person, or any group, but simply to lament that long-standing conflict in the land of Abraham and Sarah, John and Jesus and Muhammad. I follow those events in the world very closely. And just a couple of years ago, it was intriguing to read a news story about that hollowed out spot in the Jordan River where everyone claims that Jesus was baptized. Although I've also been on the Jordan side of the river where archaeologists have, through their digs, found the earliest Christian churches that were built there to celebrate the baptism of Jesus. So both Israel and Jordan claim they have the spot. Nobody knows exactly where in the Jordan River he was baptized. But anyway, some environmentalists in Israel announced a few years ago that the place in the Jordan River that is favored by tourists as where Jesus was baptized was no longer safe to enter. It seems that raw sewage was flowing into the Jordan River in that spot. And being responsible scientists, they called for a ban on Christian baptisms in that polluted water. However, officials in the Israeli government reacted strongly, rejecting the ban on baptisms at that bend in the river. You have to keep in mind, this small area of water attracts over 2 million tourists a year. Thousands of Christians from all over the world want to be baptized or rebaptized where Jesus was baptized. So even though their tests were showing a high concentration of fecal chloroform bacteria in the water, the government officials declared that the water was perfectly safe for dipping and splashing, words that designate baptism. So as you might expect, many Christians ignored the ban. With crosses in hand, they walked into that slime-colored water to follow Jesus and be baptized in the Jordan River. I would like to think a more faithful following of Jesus would have been, instead of wading into that water, to help remove the pollution from the water. After all, following Jesus means, among other things, cleaning up life, our own lives, and the earth's life, seeking purity of heart and water. So the church's invitation to follow Jesus as a disciple of Christ is a call to wholeness, to wellness, to integrity, to spiritual maturity, to become the people God created us to be. Jesus was baptized somewhere in the Jordan River, and yes, we're called to follow him in baptism, and yes, baptism involves water. But the water's not magical. If there's no change of heart, no change of mind and actions, Is it real baptism? Baptism is a sign of identity. And that changes our attitudes, our prejudices. It motivates us to service. It reorients our values by the wisdom of Jesus. Otherwise, it just leaves us dripping wet. In North Carolina, where my family is from and has been there for hundreds of years, there is the Belmont Abbey College just outside of Charlotte. It sits on beautiful property that was once a very large southern plantation, a plantation that had many slaves. In the far back corner of that property, there's an intersection of two dirt roads. The crossing is just wide enough for a horse-drawn wagon to be turned around. Next to that intersection, they discovered a huge granite stone upon which men and women and children stood to be sold into slavery. The monks of the abbey, back in the 1940s, took that granite, that stone, and they hollowed out in it a little bowl on the top, and they placed it in the abbey chapel, where it now serves as a baptismal font. And there's an engraving on the rock, and this is how it reads. Upon this rock, men and women once were sold into slavery. Now upon this rock, through the waters of baptism, men and women become free children of God. Isn't that what baptism's really about? The story of Jesus' baptism is meant to help us with our identity. We're the ones called to do Jesus' kind of work. That's what it means to follow Jesus today. And that might mean a recovery of some of the original meaning, but it's certainly about a willingness to pursue a certain kind of life. True discipleship is about obedience. It's not about observance. Jesus never said, "Worship me." He said, "Why don't you come follow me?" And once it was very dangerous to be a follower of the way. So I'd like to suggest that the church will only be on the right track when the risk we take being followers of Jesus outnumber the comforts of being a Christian in the modern world. The question for any church and for any church member should always be, what am I doing? What is my identity as I follow this Jesus? We're in a new year, but we're living this new year in the same world, with all its familiar problems and challenges, anxieties, hopes, and needs. They wear us down sometimes. I know you get down doing good work, and they can wear us out if we just continue in old ways. But the waters of baptism invite us to live anew and free, empowered, faithful to the ways of Jesus. For at the core of our faith is a relationship with the Spirit of Christ and a journey into the mystery we call God. At this time in our lives, the baptism of Jesus, the voice of affirmation, it's really not about Jesus. It's about who we are as disciples of Christ and followers of Jesus. And so before we conclude, as we stand to sing our discipleship hymn, we call it, I'm going to give you a chance, if you like, to affirm and reaffirm your baptism as a child of God, to hear the call of discipleship this year. And so Kel and I will be here at the front, and we would just invite you to come forward if you so want during the singing of this song as a reaffirmation of your call to baptism and discipleship.